looked at him and wrenched the meat loose. The old man swung the club down on him again as he slipped away to swallow and hit only the heavy, solid rubberiness.
"Come on, Galano," the old man said. "Come in again."
The shark came in a rush, and the old man hit him as he shut his jaws. He hit him solidly and from as high up as he could raise the club. This time he felt the bone at the base of the brain, and he hit him again in the same place while the shark tore the meat loose sluggishly and slid down from the fish. The old man watched for him to come again, but neither shark showed. And he saw one on the surface swimming in circles. He did not see the fin of the other. "I could not expect to kill them," he thought. "I could have in my time. But I've hurt them both badly, and neither one can feel very good. If I could have used a bat with two hands, I could have killed the first one, surely. Even now," he thought. He did not want to look at the fish. He knew that half of him had been destroyed. The sun had gone down while he'd been in the fight with the sharks. "It'll be dark soon," he said. "Then I should see the glow of Havana. If I'm too far to the eastward, I will see the lights of one of the new beaches." "I cannot be too far out now," he thought. "I hope no one has been too worried. There's only the boy to worry, of course, but I'm sure he would have confidence. Many of the older fishermen will worry. Many others, too," he thought. "I live in a good town." He could not talk to the fish anymore because the fish had been ruined too badly. Then something came into his head. "Half fish," he said. "Fish that you were, I am sorry that I went too far out. I ruined us both. But we have killed many sharks, you and I, and ruined many others. How many did you ever kill, old fish? You do not have that spear in your head for nothing." He liked to think of the fish and what he could do to a shark if he were swimming free. "I should have chopped the bill off to fight them with," he thought. But there was no hatchet, and then there was no knife. "But if I had and could have lashed it to an oar butt, what a weapon! Then we might have fought them together. What will you do now if they come in the night? What can you do?" "Fight them," he said. "I'll fight them until I die." But in the dark now, and no glow showing, and no lights, and only the wind, and the steady pull of the sail, he felt that perhaps he was already dead. He put his two hands together and felt the palms. They were not dead, and he could bring the pain of life by simply opening and closing them. He leaned his back against the stern and knew he was not dead. His shoulders told him. "I have all those prayers I promised if I caught the fish," he thought. "But I'm too tired to say them now. I'd better get the sack and put it over my shoulders." He lay in the stern and steered and watched for the glow to come in the sky. "I have half of him," he thought. "Maybe I'll have the luck to bring the forward half in. I should have some luck." "No," he said, "you violated your luck when you went too far outside." "Don't be silly," he said aloud, "and keep awake and steer. You may have much luck yet." "I'd like to buy some if there's any place they sell it," he said. "What could I buy it with?" he asked himself. "Could I buy it with a lost harpoon and a broken knife and two bad hands?" "You might," he said. "You tried to buy it with 84 days at sea. They nearly sold it to you, too." "I must not think nonsense," he thought. "Luck is a thing that comes in many forms, and who can recognize her? I would take some, though, in any form, and pay what they asked. I wish I could see the glow from the lights," he thought. "I wish too many things. But that is the thing I wish for now." He tried to settle more comfortably to steer, and from his pain he knew he was not dead. He saw the reflected glare of the lights of the city at what must have been around 10 o'clock at night. They were only perceptible at first, as the light is in the sky before the moon rises. Then they were steady to see across the ocean, which was rough now with the increasing breeze. He steered inside of the glow, and he thought that now, soon, he must hit the edge of the stream. "Now it is over," he thought. "They will probably hit me again. But what can a man do against them in the dark without a weapon?" He was stiff and sore now, and his wounds and all of the strained parts of his body hurt with the cold of the night. "I hope